This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Hi, it's Vanessa from The Fighting Stigma Show on Free FM. Are you a Waikato local? Do you have an idea for a radio show? Do you want to try your hand at being a content creator on Free FM? If so, check out our website on freefm.org.nz or find Free FM on Facebook and get in touch.
He mea hanga tēnei hōtaka e ngā pūtea tautoko o ngā reo irirangi te motu.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko maunga pōhatu te maunga, ko teirana te awa, ko matātua te waka, ko tūhoi te iwi. Nō waimana ahai, engari kei kirikiri ro I noho ana. Ko Nicola Tikiri tōku ingoa. Kia ora, my name is Nicola Tikiri, and I hail from a beautiful place called Waimana, but born and raised here in Kirikiriroa or Hamilton. And I am the founding director of the company NTK Made Limited, or people might be more familiar with my brand, Nicola, Contemporary Māori Designs from Aotearoa, where we make and create kākahu with clothing and accessories. The reason why I'm doing this podcast is to create a space and to share the highs and lows that I've learnt over my business journey and to help you with your business idea, to help plant that seed and to make it grow and flourish. So join me as I share my knowledge and experiences and talk about the background and how I started my business, inspiration, where I find or draw inspiration from, what are the different products I make and how, where do I sell my products and what platforms do I use. Kia ora, hey, it's Nicola, and welcome to episode 3 of Ko Tēnei Te Wā. In this episode, we're covering development and production. So now that you understand your purpose, your why, and where you can or do draw inspiration from, let's look at how you develop those ideas into physical things, actual products, and how you make them. Now, this is the first time I've spoken about products or things that I make without visuals, as I love to use imagery to show people what I do. So yeah, this is very different for me and somewhat outside, I suppose, my comfort zone. But hey aha, it's going to be an interesting topic for me to talk about and so that you can visualize what I mean. Let me recap. This is where I talk about my process. Firstly, it's about my why, and for me it's about connection. So connecting people to my kōrero, connecting them to the whakapapa, connecting them to te ao Māori, connecting them to te ao hurihuri. It's all about connection, so that's my purpose. Secondly, I go into my inspiration, and it's where I find or draw inspiration from different things. Normally for me it's about pūrākau, or telling narratives and stories that I have learnt about or grown up with, and from that story or that narrative that I want to tell, I then create a tohu, which is a design that I use to represent that story in some sort of way, shape or form. And from that tohu, I create my collection, and I incorporate that tohu right throughout the collection to make it cohesive and so that the story has some sort of fluidity. Now, it's normally in this phase when I'm in the inspiration, the going through that whole process, that's when I start to think about the garments or the jewelry or the products that I want to make that will fit into this theme, and that will actually carry on this narrative and be a really good vehicle for me to tell the story. Now, it was not always like that. When I first started, things were very different in how I started making and creating products. I've actually always been a tutu, and I've always tried different things, made different products. Some were amazing, some were disasters. But I have always... back in the early days, I started off with an idea and then expanded it. I used to make, like going back to the products that I really started off with, I used to make art. I did canvases where I would paint them. And I don't suppose I really gave them I sold them as such. I actually more so gave them away. Mainly to family and friends for gifts and things like that. I also used to do cards, and I would make ones with feathers, and I'd put power shells on them, things like that. I used to make frames and for photos and mirrors where I would paint and I would decorate with shells. And that was actually something that I picked up from my nan. My nan used to have all these beautiful photo frames from that she would actually make, and she would go down to the beach, this is in Whakatane, would go down to Thorndon, and she would collect shells, and I would help her collect shells, and she would make all these amazing frames for her photos. So that inspired me, and that was a product that I thought I wanted to make. So I have tried a whole lot of different products and things that I've experimented with over the years. And yeah, I would have different themes. I would have quite sporadic themes, if I'm to be honest. I went through a big phase with birds. That was a teaching or a kaupapa that I picked up in my mahi when I was down at Kirikiriro Marae, working with Te Ranga and the Chief Wikuki Kingi Senior. We learnt about birds, we learnt about rongoā, the trees, and we did a few projects based around those items. And I remember thinking, oh man, I want to continue this on, and I did. I did it within my first kind of couple of products. At that stage, I had kind of found, I suppose, the product that I really love and I still carry on making today, which is jewellery, more so earrings. I found that through trial and error, that earrings were something that I really loved to make. They're a really good vehicle for me to tell my story or tell the narrative. And then, yeah, at that time it was really big and strong on birds, which is quite interesting. So, yeah, I had a lot of bird earrings. Birds incorporated with kōwhaiwhai, just because at that time, that's what I was learning about being on the marae. And so, yeah, that's how I started initially. I would try a whole lot of different ideas. I was experimenting with different products because, yep, I'm a tutu at heart. And so, as I was going along making these array of products, man, I was doing everything from cushions to tea towels to jewelry to lamps. I started doing a few bags, I was doing sporadic t-shirts, random dresses. But I was at a friend's house actually, and he and I was selling my product just to a local group of friends. And I had set up all my things that at that stage were, like I was saying, earrings, t-shirts, bags, all sorts actually. And someone actually said to me, they said, "You make such beautiful products, but it's a bit all over the place." And I was like, "What? Oh, what do you mean it's a bit all over the place?" And what they were trying to tell me is that I didn't really have any kind of cohesive look, cohesive collection. It was just, yeah, really sporadic. And to some people, that's what they love doing, and man, that is sweet, and if that's you, you do your thing, you know, that's cool. But for me, I was like, I took that kōrero on board, because it made me realise I actually should, or you know, probably sell better, or it'd be more cohesive and make more sense if I did a collection and everything related and everything had a strong kōrero or narrative that I could bring out. So I was like, I took that kōrero on board and started looking at themes. And that's how I got to where I am today in regards to creating a theme or a collection based around a narrative or a kōrero. And yeah, that's something that I do really strong now in all my garments and all my products. They're based and linked in some way to a kōrero or a theme. So yeah, that little piece of information, or that little kōrero actually, helped me define the products that I make at that time and helped me develop a whole lot better the products and the things I want to help carry my story or my narrative through. Now, it was also during this whole space of kind of getting things a bit more cohesive that I, you know, as an artist and a designer, I love making one-off products, and that's purely because I love being unique. I actually remember when I was younger going out to the clubs, and I remember having this dress on and this, I think it was like a cardigan shawl kind of thing. And yeah, I thought, yeah, me, you know, cool. Went out to the club and there was a girl wearing the exact same thing as me. Gosh, believe me, this is a while ago. And I was like, oh my God. I went home and got changed. Purely because that's not how I roll. I like to be unique. I like to be different. I like to not conform, but not in a kind of protesting, outrageous kind of way, but more so a subtle way. I just like to be different because I think being different, being unique is a really beautiful thing. Diversity, you know, amazing. I just love that. And so, yeah, when I saw her wearing the same thing as me, I went home and got changed. But that's a thing that I've also learned about myself, is I like to be quite unique and do these one-off limited edition unique products. But from a business sense, that doesn't really work 100% for me. And it was when I was actually with one of my business mentors, Kim Hill. She said, you know, it's fabulous to make these one-off limited edition pieces, and that's fine, but I also need to have some bread and butter. And bread and butter products are something else that I learned on this journey. And what bread and butter products are for me is stuff that I can reproduce. And I know that's, so for some of you out there that are listening to this, that might be really, really hard. And believe me, that was a big hurdle and a journey that I've had to really navigate through, because, you know, we love making stuff that's just, you know, everything's unique, especially when you're hand making it. You know, you can't make a lot of things that look the same, because they're all different and they're all beautiful and they're all unique in their own way. But making bread and butter products is a very, very good and sensible thing, because that way you can produce these things time and time again, and people still buy them, people still want them, and it helps you bring in steady income. While that's going on one side, then you can concentrate on your little unique limited edition one-off products, because for me, that's where my heart lies. I love, especially handmade stuff, I love making things with my hands. In regards to the bread and butter products, for me that would be things that we do in our laser machine. For example, we can make a pair of earrings, you know, we can make hundreds and hundreds, even thousands of that shape and style, which is cool, as long as you've got the avenues to sell it, that's mean. But yeah, I really, my heart lies in making these limited edition stuff. And not everything that we make in a laser machine is going to be the same all the time. I do make some limited edition products within the machine, just purely because I like people to feel a little bit special, people to not go out the house and see someone else wearing the same thing they're wearing, because that takes me back to my clubbing days. But like I said, that's where my heart lies, making these limited edition and just making people feel special, because I think for me it's a beautiful thing to feel special, to feel unique. And yeah, I think that's just such a beautiful space and place to be in. And so when I'm creating, I like my products to have an element of that. And this is where sometimes I fall into this, I feel like I'm almost contradicting myself, because of the bread and butter, making things time and time again. There is still beauty in that as well. And for me, that beauty comes from that narrative, that kōrero that I'm placing, that I'm putting, that I'm caring with my products. That's to me really that beauty. And then another layer on top of that, I suppose, is the beauty when we talk about the connection. And for me, that's the whole why I do what I do. So yeah, it's making these products, developing them, and developing products for me evolves, and it's an evolution. And for me, it grows as my journey grows. Because when I did start, I started off with jewelry, as a lot of people may or may not know. It was jewelry, and then I developed into clothing. And as a sideline thing, I don't really know if it's a sideline thing, but I also make lamps. And why I do those three products mainly is because jewelry, yeah, I've always done it from day dot. Clothing actually takes me back to when I was at high school. At high school, I used to love making and I suppose personalizing all my own clothing. My friends and I would go op shopping. It was a very big thing for us back at high school. And I'm talking a while ago. It's very trendy now. But back then, I suppose it was trendy. Trendy for us cool people. But anyway, I digress. So back in the day, we used to get op shop clothes and, you know, we would tweak them, hand paint them, cut them, sew them, make them different, style them up differently, wear them back to front, you know, all sorts. And yeah, it was that time that I found a love for clothing. But it was never something that I thought would turn into a business. It wasn't till later on, as things evolved, I started making jewelry. I was still making and personalizing my own clothing. And then I wore something to work one day, because at that time, my business was actually a hobby. And so back then I wore what I now call a cape, and I wore it to work. And I used to work at the Kōhau House. And I wore it to work, and everyone was like, "Man, I really love that. Can you make me one? Can you make me one?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah, I'll make you one." Oh my gosh, even back then, I actually gave the pattern to someone. I said, "Make yourself one." funny the things that you learn from. But anyway, haven't done that again. So yeah, I made a cape, and then I started making them for my friends. And then through word of mouth, things grew. And yeah, I started making these products or these capes for more people, and then I started selling them. And it was through this avenue of selling the capes, and I was still doing jewelry at the time as well, that I took on this whole idea of expanding it. And if you remember when I talked just before about making things more cohesive and as a collection, I decided, because I was getting so much interest with the capes, that I would make a collection. But to do this, I kind of wanted to set a goal, because I'm a very big goal setter. And so what I did is I said, sweet, I am going to apply for Metal Mora, which is a competition for Māori designers, fashion designers, to enter, and it's held every year. And what it is that you apply to put together a collection, you present, or you send in your, your vision board or your proposal, whatever it is, and you send it into the Metal Mora committee. And what they do is they shortlist you, and if you make the shortlist, then you get to present your collection to a panel. And that panel will judge you, and the winners, or if you win, or if you place in the different sections, there's three, but it may have changed by now, then you're able to go to New Zealand Fashion Week. And so I had read up about this competition, and I thought, sweet, I'm gonna set a goal that I go for that, and I apply for it. And I had never done a collection prior to that time, and this was 2016, 2017 is actually when I applied, but I was starting to think about it in 2016. So I set that as a goal and decided I would take this cape further, this piece of clothing that I had been making for a little bit then and had such really good feedback about it. I thought, man, let's push ourselves outside that square and let's make a collection of clothing. So that's what I did. I put in a application to Metal Mora and I was shortlisted. I went along, presented to the panel, and at that time that collection was made specifically around the kōrero of Matariki and Matariki the Nine Stars, the kōrero given by Dr. Rangi Matamua. And yeah, I presented that, and I think I was placed second, or I can't remember what it was. But long story short, I was able to show at New Zealand Fashion Week, which was huge for me. It was a huge undertaking for myself, because, yeah, I'd never done a collection prior to that. But it was such a big learning. It was a very beautiful experience doing New Zealand Fashion Week, being part of the Metal Mortal Whānau, which I am still part of. And from that first 2017, I've actually been part of the Metal Mortal collection at New Zealand Fashion Week for 3 years. So I did it 2017, 18, and then 19. And yeah, that's how I've developed my products. I've taken on board kōrero that people give me, or, you know, tell me. I've taken on board feedback. I've taken on board what customers like. For example, the cape, it just grew because so many people loved it. So from that, I developed it more and more and more, and I still actually make capes to this day. They're one of our best-selling products. Just because, yeah, people love them. I think it's because they, the way it fits, the way it can go across multiple sizes. Yeah, it's a really great product. And from that, I've introduced other items within the clothing kind of product realm, I suppose. I've still always done jewelry. Luckily for me, clothing and jewelry, I believe, go hand in hand. So you can accessorize with your items or clothing and things like that. So they're really good partners. The other product that I have done, and it kind of stands a bit on its own, kind of to the left of everything. So you think, oh yeah, clothing and jewelry, they make sense, they go together. The other product that I make is actually a lamp. And people go, you know, why do you make lamps? And honestly, that goes back to my early days, and that is from... I was trained, or I've gone through various universities and stuff like that, where I trained to actually be more of a product developer or product designer. I actually did spatial design, and I did furniture design and product design. So I did all those at university, or AUT to be specific, and then Unitech. So yeah, I've had a love for three-dimensional sculptural design, and for me, doing lights was more so about energy and the love of light. I think energy is an amazing thing, and it just used to blow my mind that a light can be this beautiful vessel of energy. And I think it relates to us. I mean, we're vessels of energy, and I like that relationship, that correspondence between us as a vehicle of energy and the lamp as a vehicle of energy. I just think it blows my mind. I just think it's an amazing thing. And because I love that, and I love working with lights, because, yeah, light can light up a room, light can convey a different story from when something's not lit to when it is lit. You know, you can see different things. Yeah, there's just so much beautiful kōrero around what I think is light and energy. So that's why I actually make lamps, because of my love of light and energy. So yeah, that's why I make those products. I do dabble in a few other things, which would be like taking me back to my art days, because yeah, I love creating art as well. Something that I started off with, but yeah, it wasn't very cohesive with what I was making back then. But you'll find that as you go through your journey, some products or some things you might develop in the early days that don't work out, you can actually retest them and try them later on in your journey, because maybe you've got a better idea, maybe you've got a better way of connecting it, maybe you've got a better way of developing the product. So yeah, don't ever give up on ideas or products that maybe may not work initially. You can just park them, let them sit, let them rest, almost like wine, let them mature, and then yeah, bring them out when the time's right, or when you feel that there's a better way of constructing it, of making it, or even linking it to your narrative. So yeah, that's pretty much how or why I make the products that I make. It's been a journey, and it will still be a journey. There's a lot of things that I want to develop, a lot of things that I'm working on, still in the, I suppose, those three areas that I'm really strong in, which is clothing, jewelry, and lights. But yeah, it's an ongoing journey, and it's something that I really love to make and do. And I'm sure, like myself, if you love making and doing what you do, you'll find that it will just naturally evolve and you'll grow with it. So yeah, that's how I make my products and how I develop them over time. This session has probably been a bit unconventional, as you've followed me through my journey of memories and how I've developed and made what I have, as this is about production and development, but not really a textbook process, but more of a fluid process, because for me, products have developed along with me. And I think as Māori, we are very creative and very much a tutu. And for a lot of us, following conventional ways isn't our thing. And to be honest, I think that's why we're so innovative. I just hope that you find inspiration with your path, and your inspiration will help inform your product and your development. Thank you for joining me. Ka kite anō.
Kia ora. Hey, it's Nicola here. If you ever want to get in touch with me or hit me up on my website,
www.nicola.co.nz. Ka nui te mihi atu ki a koe. Kua tō tērā, ara mai anā, tētahi āhua. Kia te mai he ponui te whai, mātī.
Episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.